Y'all open your Bible someplace. It's all good. Haggai, chapter 2. Now, if you don't know where it's at, you just look at the index in the front of your Bible there, and it'll tell you what page it's on. It's between Matthew and Mark. Haggai chapter 2, let's begin in verse 15. And now, I pray you, consider from this day upward and before, verse 15. And now, I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. Since those days were when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press vat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands. Yet you turn not to me, saith the Lord. Consider from this day and upward, and from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea. As yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth, from this day will I bless you. Let's pray. Father, help us now. Open the hearts, the mind of the hearer. We'll praise you for it. Trash can, dress code out the window, minds reeling with rock and roll, abortion in the 8th grade, rebellion runs rampant, and the government focuses on proper racial balance in the neighborhood of school. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make a lick sense, does it? Have you noticed that almost everywhere you look in government and pretty much society at large, you just see thing after thing just doesn't make any sense. Never in the history of the world, and certainly never in the history of the United States of America, have we had so much going on, been involved in so much, legislated so much, that just doesn't make a lick of sense. Lester Olof, 30 years ago, used to say, America is an insane asylum run by the inmates. Never has that been more true than it is today. I'll bring a little message tonight entitled, Consider. The passage we read has nothing to do with the message. But I needed to borrow that word. And now I pray you, consider. That's the Lord talking to Israel and saying, I want you to think about something. Consider this. And he talks about what all he's done to them because of the way they behave, the way they live, the way they conduct their lives. And he said, has it brought you any prosperity? Has it brought you the blessings? The answer, of course, is no. He said, you went to get 50 measures of wine, grape juice, And there wasn't but 20. Because your crops weren't good. There wasn't any grapes. I smote you with mildew and blasting, and you have not prospered. And you work and work and work, and you endeavor and you labor and you do all kind of things, and it just comes to naught. And God says, consider what you're doing. If you consider, He said, here's what you see. I'm not blessing you. I've taken the blessing away. Now you need to think about it. You need to consider and figure out why. Why is God not blessing? Why is there only 20 measures in the vat instead of 50? How come there ain't enough chicken wings to go around? He said, I need you to consider. God wants us to think, to reason. Of course, if you're not going to be honest, if you're not going to deal with the facts, there's not much point in the exercise. If you're going to make stuff up and pretend that things are different than the reality, you're wasting your time. We watch government officials all the time talk about all kinds of things that are not the issue. It's a stalling tactic. It's a cover. It's a dodge. It's a facade. It's a farce. But they talk so pious and so like this is the grand solution. Barack Obama's saying, increase the tax rate on everybody that makes $250,000, like that's going to solve the problem. That's going to raise about $80 billion. Now, you'd think $80 billion is a lot of money, but that will, in fact, fund the government for 8.5, 9 days. There's 365 days in a year. So all these weeks, all these months that Congress is fighting over to raise the rate of tax on the wealthy, it's an exercise in futility. It's demonstrably stupid. And all your elected leaders sitting up there, they've called them back in. They're going to vote on something another tonight, come hell or high water, whether it makes any sense or not. A terrible tyrant once said, it's a good thing for leaders that people don't think. Adolf Hitler said that. People don't think. They don't consider. We are perfectly willing to sit around on our hands and let the government and the talking heads on the news programs decide everything, figure everything out, analyze it, and then at the last minute, America tunes in time for the vote. The most ill-informed, politically ignorant bunch of folks that ever cast a ballot anywhere on the planet. I want to bring you a message tonight entitled, Consider. And I want to offer you 24 things to consider. And some of these are very serious. And some of them are just casual and light enough to keep you interested. Some of this stuff is deadly serious, and some of this stuff is just designed to provoke you to stay awake. Yet even those points that we will bring up that are more lighthearted, less serious, have a profound point behind them. Even though the thing in and of itself may not be particularly significant, what it represents, the mindset that brought us to that is very significant. And so, I don't even know if you can call tonight's message preaching or not. It's just the preacher venting. But that's just the way it goes. I think it's necessary sometimes. It's an escape valve for the preacher so that he doesn't blow up. So let me give you these things as quickly as possible so that we can go have our Sunday night snack. Number one, consider. We save baby whales and kill baby people. We save baby whales and we kill baby people. PETA and all that bunch of fruitcakes think it's perfectly all right to take any amount of natural resource, any amount of technology, and spend any amount of money and divert it from any program in order to save some blubber factory. Oh, these little whales are trapped and they're going to perish. And it's a national issue. It's on the news every night. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's all upset. Well, I think they ought to go up there to the North Pole and crack through the ice and just do whatever they got to do to save them baby whales. I'd let them suckers die right where they're at. It would just drive me nuts to think that I took money and time and resources to save a bunch of baby whales and didn't take the same amount of time and money and resources and save baby people. We can slaughter 1 million innocent babies, kill 1 million people in cold blood every year for the last 40 years, and that's okay. After all, a woman does have her own personal reproductive rights. It's her body, and she has a right to determine what she does with it. Yes, she had a right to determine when she had sex. Unprotected. And now she's had an encounter, or whatever you want to call it these days, and there's a consequence, and she wants out from the consequence. So we just murder. We just take a stainless steel tube, half inch in diameter, insert it, turn on the vacuum cleaner, and suck out the blood, brains, and guts. Preacher, you don't need to be so graphic. Somebody needs to be graphic. Somebody ought to wake people up so they know what they're doing. They're killing people. If the doggone woman wanted to be so responsible with her body, she ought to have been more careful before she started. And if she can't be, then she ought to live with the consequence. Amen? Amen? You kill somebody with your car, you got to live with the consequence. You go out and get drunk and commit vehicular homicide, you got to live with the consequence. Don't think about that stuff. Consider. We promote the Clean Air Act and pollute the human mind. We want the air we breathe to be pure. We need to put big old filters on every smokestack in America. We'll make sure that when you take the oil out of your car, we don't dump it on the ground and it gets in the groundwater. We want to make sure that no vapor, no byproduct, nothing from your factory, from your process, is allowed to escape into the atmosphere or get in the ground. Might cause cancer to future generations. Now, maybe some of that stuff's good. I'm not going to argue the point. But we want to turn loose and take all restrictions away about what we put in the minds and in the little brains of our youngins. We're perfectly willing to pollute the mind with every kind of distorted reality, every kind of twisted mindset, with every kind of deviant behavior. We want to present it as normal and acceptable and okay. And then, of course, we're going to get upset when we turn out a bunch of little perverts. But they'll have clean air to breathe. I'm not saying you shouldn't do the one, but you certainly ought not do the other. We preserve the rainforest, and with malice aforethought, destroy the family. We're worried about the rainforest because it may change the ecology of the planet. It may change where the winds blow and where the rain falls. And we need that rainforest because we found all kind of fungi and stuff down there that we can make into all kind of medicines to take care of all the diseases we've invented because of our impure living. But they can make a lot of money cutting them big old trees down. And so they're in there cutting them down as fast as they can. And boy, we got legislation. We got people screaming bloody murder, man. All the tree huggers are out in force trying to make sure we preserve the rainforest. And I got nothing against the rainforest one way or the other. But while we're trying to save it, we're doing everything humanly possible to destroy the family unit, which is the foundational institution of society. When you destroy the family, everything else crumbles. I don't care how many doggone trees you got left. If you don't have a family and a society that can utilize them and make the most out of it, what we need to be working on, maybe we ought to work on that too, but we ought to be working on the family. It's far more important than the rainforest. Of course, if you talk to a tree hugger, you know, they'd rather preserve the trees than to preserve the family. Well, as the family goes, so goes the country. Amen. We worry about ozone depletion and promote moral erosion. We have spent trillions of dollars because of ozone. In the heating and air conditioning industry, we have shut down, run out of, reinvented Freon coolants to keep the planet cool and its refrigeration cool. We got all kind of new refrigerants that are supposed to be, now nobody knows for sure yet, but they're supposed to be ozone friendly. Of course, in order to do that, we had to have different oils, different compressors, different refrigerant, different expansion valve. The whole system has had to be revamped. And so in the last 15, 20 years, worldwide, we've spent gazillions of dollars doing this in an effort to be ozone friendly. Now, nobody told you that every time the sun comes up and the rays hit them clouds, it produces ozone. Every time there's a lightning bolt, it produces ozone. That funny smell you smell in the air after a thunderstorm, that's brand new ozone. They also didn't tell you that up over the North Pole is this great big hole up there, just sucking ozone out day and night, 24/7, and always has been. And we ain't managed to run out of ozone yet. Besides that, I'm not a friend of ozone because if you buy a rubber band and you leave it exposed to the air, you ever notice how they lose their elasticity and they rot? Ozone did that. Protect that. Let's be ozone conscious. But we can promote moral erosion. We can legalize gambling, legalize prostitution. Now we're legalizing drugs. We've legalized same-sex marriage. We promote all kinds of distorted and perverted concept in our schools and our educational institutions so that the minds of our young people who are coming out of school these days don't work, don't think, don't analyze, don't believe like their forefathers, their predecessors. We've corrupted their mind. And things that were shameful and forbidden and spoken of only by bad people in dark places are now talked about and joked about in every area of society 24 hours a day. We're ecology-minded, but we are not eternity-minded. We worry about the ecology of the planet. You ever talk to some of them green people? Man, I'll tell you what, you have to learn a whole new vocabulary to be able to communicate with them. It's like learning a new language because they are like creatures from another planet. We don't talk the same lingo. Them folks that are really into that ecology stuff, they're nuts. I just want you to know that. They're nuts. And they want to restrict almost every advance in technology, engineering, electronics that we've had in the last 100 years, they would have you back in the Stone Age in order to protect the ecology. I'm not anti-ecology. But at the same time, while they're concerned about the ecology, and the ecology, you see, is the longevity of the planet, they're not worried about your eternal destination. They're not worried about eternity. They have no concept, no concern about where you're going to spend forever. They want you to have a nice, safe, breathable planet to live on for 50 or 60 years, and they don't give a tinker's flip where you're going to spend eternity. We educate the mind and neglect the soul. You know, you can get on the internet anymore and you can find out anything. You can find out anything. You don't even have to type www anymore. You know, I first started using a computer, and of course I'm not good at it. I'm computer illiterate. I know how to do emails, but I can look stuff up. And you had to go www.scoobydoo.org.com, whatever it was. And then I found out, shoot, you didn't even have to do that. You just go in there and type scoobydoo.com, and Scooby-Doo will come up anyway. I thought, shoot, man, I just left that 4 digits. I thought for a while I was a genius, figured that out on my own, then I figured everybody was doing it. I should have known. I don't care what you're interested in. You can find it. Now, you and I are probably not going to look up the same stuff. While you're looking up Playboy, Penthouse, Wee Hustler, and, you know, I'm looking up Einstein and I mean, there really is some really cool stuff. Man, I was looking up the general theory of relativity and string theory a while back. And they've just got the coolest stuff on there with these charts and animations and little videos you can watch. I thought, man, I don't care how offbeat it gets. I'm looking into plasma and all kind of stuff and nanotechnology. Hey, man, you can just get all kind of neat stuff on there. If it is to enlighten or broaden the mind, you can get it. But man alive, try and find something for your soul. There ain't near so much out there. Because we're far more interested in educating the mind than we are preserving the soul. We legislate civil rights and prohibit individual rights. Now consider that. All these points are things you ought to consider. I'm not saying the one side is necessarily bad. It's just that if you promote this to the exclusion of the other, you've got a serious problem. We need to think about it. And Americans tend not to think. We watch ball games. I play golf every week with a whole bunch of old men. They're all in their late 60s, early 70s. They ought to be at the point in their life where they have become reflective. Maybe even introspective. Because a lot of them got all kind of serious stuff wrong with them. You can't get a serious conversation about any concept. I don't care what it is. You can't get it. But you can instantly get 15 guys hollering and screaming at each other and pointing their finger when you talk about, so-and-so played so-and-so this weekend. Man, they kicked their backside, didn't they? Well, they wouldn't have if. They are all up on that football, basketball, NASCAR, whatever the deal is. But you try and get them to talk about something, they're not going to think about it. They don't want to do any of the heavy lifting. Well, there ain't nothing you can do about it anyway. Just leave it up to the politicians. Oh, that's worked out well, has it not? Yeah. We legislate civil rights at the expense or the neglect of individual rights. Now, civil rights tells us what's good for the group. Individual rights tells you what's good for you. Your constitution, your form of government, guarantees you individual rights. There are certain things the government has no business dictating to you as a person. But in the name of civil rights, they trample your individual rights and say, well, this is good for the group. You may get hosed in the process. It may not turn out to be good for you. We may have to restrict your liberties and your freedoms, but it's good for the group. And the group is always some minority. Wouldn't you just like one time from to legislate civil rights for the crowd? For the big bunch? And say, okay, you 65% white guys, this one's for you. All the minorities are going to have to take one for the team this time. You ain't ever going to see it. They want to pass gun legislation to restrict the rights of who? Individuals. They want to come to my house and take my gun. And I will give it to them when it's empty. I like that cartoon somebody sent me on the email here a while back. And this man had broke into this lady's house and she shot him 6 times, killed him stone cold dead. And when the sheriff got out there to investigate it, they picked up her little old revolver and it was empty. And the guy said, lady, why did you shoot him 6 times? She said, well, when I pulled the trigger the 7th time, it just clicked. Consider. Gay rights are protected and Christian rights are trampled. How come it is every time they vote in, pass some law to advance the cause of a bunch of perverts, it's at the expense of my Christian faith? I'm sick and tired of that. I'm sick and tired of it. I think every time they pass a law in favor of a queer, we ought to protest and march. Send nasty emails to Lindsey Graham. Amen? I think if we'd stop and consider that whole thing, we'd see right quick that somebody is trying to pull the wool over our eyes. There's an agenda afoot. We're being controlled. We're being manipulated. And not for our good. Why should gays be treated like a minority? Doesn't that strike you as odd? A black man is black all the time. But a queer is only a fag when he commits an act. So it's not a state of being, it's a choice. Well, we don't give people who make choices civil rights status. Except we do in America. We've now made homosexuals another class of people. Now, ladies and gentlemen, at the risk of sounding mean and ugly and without compassion or understanding, let me say this as clearly and unequivocally as I possibly can. All homosexuals, all of them, are perverts. Perverts. Every one of them. They're dirty and defile. They are abnormal. And they pervert nature. They're not a third sex. If you ever looked at them, all the perverts in the world are either male or female. I mean, there ain't none of them unisex. Well, I got to hurry. We advocate, you need to think about this, consider. We advocate political correctness and pervert historical truth. Now, you can't say certain things because it might offend somebody. Or you can't hold certain positions because it's not in line with some perceived position of the intelligentsia or academia, whoever that happens to be. That is, you got a bunch of dunderhead professors trying to brainwash a bunch of empty-minded young kids to adopt their position and perspective on life. That's what they do. That's their goal. And they want everybody to think, talk, act, and respond the same way. That's political correctness. And if you don't, then you're ostracized on campus, you're left out, you're outside the circle, you're belittled, you're ridiculed, you're made fun of, and a lot of times the professors will personally deride you and belittle you in the class. You got to be politically correct. But we rewrite history and pervert historical truth. You know, you almost can't get the truth about anything that happened in history anymore. They're just putting out fairy tales. They just make stuff up. They just rewrite it to make the guys we used to think of as heroes are now villains. You would think that some of those men that gave their life and their fortunes and their families were just mean-spirited, narrow-minded, intolerant, reactionary, troublemaking, bigoted little men. Instead of the giants of men that they really were. And who does that? Men who could not latch their shoes. Can you imagine the likes of a Bill Clinton lecturing anybody on morality or ethics? Can you imagine that sleazeball sexual pervert being the fourth most popular president in American history? Go figure. Here's an oxymoron. Consider this. We fight AIDS and promote homosexuality. Now, you got to stumble over that, don't you? We are to spend 10 times as much money as we're spending right now on finding a cure for AIDS. Why? So that the homosexual can practice his lifestyle without having to get a death sentence. Maybe we ought to just leave it alone and let nature take its course. Then we'd be rid of both. AIDS would disappear, and so would queers. Amen? How can sane people, on the one hand, advocate for scientific research diverting energy and money from legitimate causes to find a cure to protect the lifestyle of the pervert, while we let the lives of normal people perish and no research on their behalf because we took those resources for this little minority group? Does that make any sense? It didn't me. Of course, I'm cold-blooded, cold-hearted, mean, nasty old fella anyway, but in America, consider this. We pay for pornography and remove manger scenes. You know, if you've got that device sitting on your desk at home called a computer, there is no vile thing known to man that you can't pull up in your living room in 2 seconds or less. Multi-billion-dollar a year industry. And it's okay. We don't have a problem with it. We can fight AIDS and then promote homosexuality. We promote pornography and remove manger scenes. The debate every year, there's a big thing every year on all the networks for weeks on end about having to remove the manger scene from some public location. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, unknown to you, every manger scene gives off a radiation that is lethal. And anybody who stands for 3 minutes or more and beholds any manger scene closer than 8 feet will ultimately die. They use the same science for that they use to prove that every person in America who ate canned tomatoes in 1860 is now dead. We fight crime and release criminals. Does it make any sense? 47% of all the people in prison are repeat offenders. We're missing something. We need to stop and consider this thing. We need to think about it some. We pray in Congress, but not in school. Congress has a paid chaplain. He's on the public dole. He gets money. He's paid. He's the chaplain for the Congress. And every session of Congress begins with prayer. But not every first grade class gets to pray. We tell them kids, no. Can't do that. Violation of church and state. We are kind of broad-minded and intolerant, though. We didn't share that completely. We'll give you a moment of silence. Don't say anything. Somebody might hear your prayer and be infected. Think about this. Consider this. Prisoners get Bibles. School kids get condoms. Doesn't it seem a little backwards to you? Wouldn't you think that maybe, we had given the kids the Bibles, they wouldn't have been in prison? But we don't do that. We shut God off, shut God out. We secularize everything. We promote every wicked and evil thing known to man. We give our children way too much liberty. We let them go and do things they never should be doing as young people. Amen. We say, well, they're teenagers. They're going to do it. You can't stop them. What are you going to do? Put them in a cage? Well, that's not a bad idea. At least till they're 21. You know, we used to teach that it was wrong. And the handful of young people that got caught were ostracized and looked down on. And it really did hold it down. Now, it didn't eliminate it, I'll give you that. But boy, percentage-wise, sure was a lot less of it going around. Amen? So now when they grow up and get in trouble because they're little rebels and little reprobates, we get them in jail. Now, bless God, we'll give them that Bible. We invite the Gideons in. Pass out them books. Let's hire a chaplain for the prison. Let's let preachers come in from every denomination and preach every night of the week. Let's encourage our men and women who are incarcerated to attend religious services. We need to rehabilitate them so they become useful members of society. Gee, I just wonder what would have happened if we'd have started that 30 years ago. Encouraged them to read the Bible and follow the Ten Commandments from their youth up. They may not have ever been in prison. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It's a lot cheaper to buy Bibles and pass them out at school than it is to build prisons and feed prisoners. Consider this, we live for today and forget that tomorrow is coming. That's the mindset of the 21st century. We have programmed a whole generation of young people to only be concerned with what they can get, have, or do right now. A large percentage, large segment of our young people don't have any plans to wait 5 or 10 or 15 years to have anything. They want everything mom and daddy's got after 30 or 40 years of marriage, and after 30 or 40 years of hard work, and after 30 or 40 years of struggling, and after 30 or 40 years of doing without. They want it all right now. They're not going to save, they're not going to plan, and they're not going to wait. Now, they don't make the money for all that, but they're going to do it anyway. Down through the years, almost 40 now, I have counseled a number of young people who are going to get married. Some of them my own children. And I counsel every one of them exactly the same. If I counseled yours, I'd tell them exactly the same thing. When you get married, two things you don't want to do. Don't get pregnant and don't get in debt. Don't buy a house. Don't buy a new car. And don't have twins. Not a one of them listened to me. Not one person I ever counseled ever paid me one bit of attention. They went right out and did everything I told them not to do. I am the all-time worst counselor known to man. My success rate is 0.0. First thing they do is go out and in a month they say, oh, did you know so-and-so? They're going to have a baby. You make $9 an hour, you moron. You can't afford a kid. Babies cost a lot of money. Do you know what diapers cost? Oh, they just bought a new car? Well, you got to have transportation. Well, did they get a little Kia or a Hyundai or a Civic or something? Oh, no, no. They got a 745 LI. I mean, oh, good night. Oh, did you hear? They just bought a brand new house, and it's got the sweetest little nursery. And here they are, young and dumb, lovable. Yes, 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 yes. They're our kids. Stupid. And half the time, mom and daddy are complicit. When you're going to give us a grandbaby? In about 10 years. Well, you know, we're going to help them buy a house, you know. Well, you know, we don't want them throwing their money away paying rent. That's just throwing money down a rat hole. No, you'd rather them pay money on a plastic house with 24-inch centers for, you know, on their, that's going to look like this in 10 years and be sitting in the middle of a ghetto and you can't get half of what you owe. But go ahead. You know, I always told them, if you're going to get married, great, you're in love. Here's what you need to do. Get married, live in an apartment. Rent a trailer. Buy a used car. Get a 32-inch plasma down at Walmart. Don't go to Best Buy and buy a 60-incher. Use a little common sense. Amen? Go places. Do things. What little money you got? All that discretionary funds? Take some trips. Eat out. Enjoy. Get to know each other. Build a foundation. Build a relationship. And find out pretty quick that the one you married ain't the one you dated, and learn to live with the one you got instead of the one you thought you had. You can get pregnant any time. Dalton cats can do it. You can get in debt any time. My father-in-law, when he was in his late 70s, mind going, went down to a loan company. He doesn't work. He's got no means of income. He don't even have a car. Well, that runs. But he goes down to a finance company and they loan him $5,000 on his signature. That's what we call stupid. We did. He was walking around with this big wad of cash in his pocket flashing, boy. We found out about it and got that money back and went down and gave it back to him. Paid that bill. I said, what kind of mindset have you morons got that will let a man like that have that much money with no way to pay it back? I forgot what point I was on. I was just having fun. My point is, ladies and gentlemen, and I could go on and on and on, that for all of our education, all of our intelligence, for all of our learning, with all of our technology, most people really don't spend much time considering what they're doing. Way too often you hear people say, you know, preacher, if I'd have just thought about it, if we'd have stopped for 5 minutes and considered what it was going to, we'd have never done it. People don't stop and consider. They see something and they want it. And they immediately go into the acquire mode. They're going to figure out some way to get it. Whether it's reasonable or not, whether it's sane or not, whether it's plausible or not, all those things are immaterial. Here is the golden egg, and I'm going to get it, no matter what. And they do. They just don't consider what it's going to cost them down the road. We do it in politics. We elect some thumphead who promised to fight for us. And then we never check up on that fool. We keep him in office for 35 or 40 years till he's a doddering old man and has stolen us blind. And voted himself all kinds of exemptions to all the laws he passed to put on you. But we never consider that. We just re-elect them idiots term after term. Our science says we have global warming. We have ozone depletion. Well, it must be so because all the scientists agree. My father-in-law's position was that there would be a controversy going on and I'd be opposed to it. He'd say, now, Eddie, you know that ain't right. It's got to be so. It's on television. They wouldn't lie. I thought, how can anybody be as stupid as you are and breathe? Well, I wasn't being ugly. I wasn't talking about just your daddy. Let me conclude with this. We really do need to consider where we're headed. We need to consider where our government, where our country is headed. 4 years ago, we elected an ideologue who is a certified Marxist communist who knows no other perspective, never been exposed to anything else. His education has been as one-sided as anybody I've ever read about. It's not that he won't think from any other perspective. He doesn't know there is any other perspective. And our government is not only about to ruin us financially and morally, but they are going to finish destroying us spiritually. Because they are out to crush every remnant of Christianity. And as they do that, all the blessings that God bestowed on this nation will evaporate like a fog. America better stop and consider where we're at. We better stop and consider where we're going. Just as surely as you have to stop and consider the decisions you make in your life and in your family, this country, and I'm talking about the whole thing, better stop. They better stop soon, and they better consider diligently. Or you ain't going to have a country left. It'd be gone. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if what you know about history, but the demise of Czechoslovakia, Poland, Hungary, those places, happened so quick, the people did not know what hit them. And we'd like to sit here in America and think it can't happen to us, but it can. And it can happen just that quick. And Americans are going to wake up one of these days and say, this is America. They can't do that. That can't happen here. They will. Well, listen, I appreciate y'all coming tonight and sitting there patiently while I ranted and raved. And I feel so much better. I'm going to go get something to eat. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And Lord, we make light. We make light. But my soul, Lord, it is so serious. And in large measure, it is because we as a people don't think. We're just too busy rushing pell-mell into tomorrow. We ask you, Lord, help us. Help us as moms and dads. Help us as families. Help us as Christians. Help us as citizens. To stop just every now and then and consider. In Jesus' name, amen.